Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Joe Benito and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and
All right, 10:04 on The Fan, and a very good Tuesday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Benigo, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We'll be here, of course, till 1 o'clock. Then CMB will come your way. The Renaissance man, the great Brian Riscona. And, of course, the great as well. We know Ernie's great. You don't have to say it.
World Ernie champion Acosta, Ernie Acosta.
On the other side of the glass. That's right. Ernie won the Baseball Fantasy League. He got the belt. He got the money. And he's ready to go.
Oh, he's happy.
He's all pumped up. And, oh, by the way, as Ernie hands it to me now, we are live and in living color from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear Deli meats and cheeses. Only at my favorite store. I should have stock in it. ShopRite.
Yo. Ernie is so giddy about his championship.
He should be.
I mean, and I'm kind of jealous, I have to admit. He has that big gold belt. He has all that cash. And more than that, Joe, he's got pride.
He does.
A lot of pride.
And I know, and Ernie had a bad year last year, right?
2 years ago.
Oh, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, he had a year like I had this year where we missed the playoffs, but then won the consolation tournament to get the number one overall pick.
Oh, he had the number one pick last year?
Last year, or 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting the years. The years all meshed together.
Was that?
Last year I finished third.
Last year third.
Yeah, okay. I think it was the year before that he had the bad year. So he's a world champion. Good for him. Good for him.
God bless you, Ernie.
But and what's amazing about Ernie, and trust me, this is about to transition to the Yankees, and it's going to be a very smooth transition.
I know where you're going, I think.
Ernie won a championship with one of his keepers being Gary Sanchez. And Gary Sanchez is completing one of those seasons that you need to flush down the toilet bowl.
Yep.
And I continue every day I watch him. I mean, think about last night. Last night, Gary Sanchez was batting eighth for the New York Yankees. 6 months ago, when the season was beginning, I was making the case, I think rightfully so, that Gary Sanchez needs to hit fourth in the lineup.
Right.
And last night, with his 180 batting average.
Yeah. Two more pass balls last night, right?
And two more pass balls. He now has 17 for the season.
And I think he's four ahead of whoever's next, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that's the number.
And he missed a big chunk of time.
Yep.
And
yep.
He's never on the same page with his pitchers. This is one of those seasons that just you want to eliminate. You just want to forget about it. And the Yankees, and I understand why, are doubling down on this. I mean, Brian Cashman said over the weekend, the upside of Gary Sanchez is so high, we're going to play him. And that's why I expect a week from tomorrow, Gary to be in the lineup in that wild card game against the Oakland A's, despite the fact that this has been as bad of a season as you could have.
Can you catch him in that game, though? I mean, I don't see how you can. With as bad as it's been for Sanchez, how can you catch him in that game? I don't see how you can.
What are your options? You can't DH him.
You know what? The worst thing that could happen is he has a pass ball that winds up costing the Yankees, you know, the season.
It could happen.
I mean, it could happen.
I think we are getting to the point where I understand that Gary's capable of having a 3-home-run game. He's capable of doing
He's
that.
He's due, anyway.
He's very, very due. He's 17 months pregnant when you talk about being due.
Right.
But at this point, it's impossible to start him. He's a disaster right now. And I've been a supporter of his all season long that eventually it's going to turn. Eventually it's going to turn. He's hitting 180. He's committing two pass balls a day. I'm not giving up on him forever. I'm not trading him at the end of the year. but it's impossible to trust them. There are six games left in the regular season, Joe. Can anything really happen in 6 days that's going to make you say, gee golly, start Gary Sanchez?
Well, I mean, I guess if he, you know, got smoking hot over the six games and, you know, hit like five homers and was hitting like, you know, five something over that period of time.
All right.
Maybe. I mean, but I think that's what you'd have to do to really gain confidence in him. Oh, he's, you know, he's red hot now going into this game.
Yeah. 6 days of hotness. Well, that's really what it would need to be.
Pretty much.
Because right now he's the opposite of hot. And
yep.
I'll never forget, this for some reason is in my brain whenever a baseball player is having a bad year.
Right.
I think of Bob Murphy talking about Bernard Gilkey. Bernard Gilkey in 1997 was having a terrible season.
Yep.
And Bob Murphy kept saying, oh, don't you worry. He'll get to the back of his baseball card.
I like that. You did that very well.
Thank you. It never happened. Like, Gilkey never got back to the back. In fact, he was never the same.
Never. He had that one monster year, and that was it.
That was it.
Yep.
Now, I'm
yep.
not saying that's going to be the case with Gary Sanchez. I would say that if next year he comes out in April and he's hitting 175 and he's got seven pass balls in April, I'd start to get very worried. For now, you can chalk it to just a really, really bad season. But sometimes you don't know. Now, sometimes you can say, look at the back of the baseball card, and I think more times than not that's what happens. But how do we know that's what's going to happen with this guy? Because it's not just one aspect of his game. It isn't just his defense anymore. It's everything.
Yeah. No. No. He's lost. He's had a lost season, Gary Sanchez. I don't see how else you can say it. I mean, you know, that's it. He's had a lost season. And again, I don't know how you can catch him in a wild card game. I just don't know.
Well,
I think he's too much of a liability.
It's catcher. He doesn't play. You're not DHing him. The Yankees right now...
Well,
even with this latest injury to Aaron Hicks, which we'll get into, they are not in position to DH a 180 hitter.
Right?
Yes. And that's nerve-wracking because Aaron Hicks has become one of the key members of this team. He's batting third in the lineup. Think about this.
No, he's had a tremendous year.
Six months ago.
26 home runs. He's had a tremendous year.
He gets on base.
Yep.
He plays really good defense in center field. Sometimes he doesn't play very hard, as we saw with that triple last week.
Wow.
But for the most part, Aaron Hicks has had a very good season. And last night, he leaves with this hamstring issue. Now, the one positive, the Yankees are a deep baseball team. So when
The big positive. They got so many bats on that lineup there. That's why I can, you know, maybe I can live without Sanchez for that game.
Oh, yeah. And
you
Austin Romine did a fair job filling in for
him. Right, right.
But even when losing Didi Gregorius, obviously moving Gleyber to shortstop and playing Neil Walker it's a letdown. It's a drop-off.
Sure.
But it's not an enormous drop-off that some other teams may have.
Right, Neil Walker's still a professional. You know, he's still a professional hitter. Say whatever you want about him.
And Brett Gardner, last night, defensively, comes in for Aaron Hicks after Hicks leaves with the injury and makes sort of a game-saving catch.
Yeah. Should have been a double off the wall.
Sure.
Yep.
And the thing about Gardner offensively is Brett Gardner's a very streaky player, and more times than not this season, it's been bad streaks. He's had a bad year. That's why he's lost his job in the outfield. He barely plays now, and it's why the Andrew McCutchen trade was so valuable. But Brett Gardner is capable of getting hot. He is capable of going on a hot streak. But the injuries for this team, they're just happening at the wrong time. We are 8 days out from the wild card game. This whole season is going to come down to one freaking baseball game. You've got Didi dealing with the wrist injury. He thinks he's going to somehow play in this game.
That.
God bless him.
Yeah, we'll see.
And now you got to worry about Aaron Hicks. So the injuries for this team, when they finally got healthy, are just coming at a really bad time right now.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. A really bad time. But with all that said, you know, I look at the Yankees and I say, look, there's still a lot of firepower on this team. Let's be honest about that. And, you know, I just be very, very nervous about catching Sanchez in that game. He's had such a bad year. He's become such a liability behind the plate. I'm not saying going forward into, you know, years, you know, next year or beyond that he can't get things straightened out, especially offensively.
Yeah.
But I just think right now, you know, with everything on the line in one game, can you really afford to have him behind the plate?
No.
I don't think you can.
And I say this as a Sanchez supporter. He can't catch that game.
No.
And I think as the days have gone on, as we get closer and closer to D-Day, which is a week from Wednesday, it's becoming impossible to argue the other side. It's becoming impossible to be Brian Cashman. And we know this is Cashman's decision.
Oh, of course.
This is not Aaron Boone's decision.
I'm sure he's setting the lineup card for next Wednesday.
Yes.
I'm sure about that.
And that's why when Brian Cashman comes out this weekend and talks about their belief in Gary Sanchez, we know where this decision is coming from. But right now, and I don't know what's going on with him. It's weird. I don't know if something's going on with him away from the field. But
maybe we'll find out about something. I don't know.
He is just such a mess to the point where I kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Because everybody says he works hard. And I know the perception is, well, it doesn't look like he's working hard. We don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. But for this guy to have 17 pass balls, to be miscommunicating with every single pitcher, whether it's Sonny Gray or Muffy.
He doesn't even catch. I mean, there's pitches like that go right over the middle of the plate that he doesn't catch.
I know. That's the miscommunication.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
And David Cone, good for him. He was rough on him last night.
Yeah.
It's inexcusable. You throw all that together and the fact that this was a guy who burst onto the scene 2 years ago. He looked like the second coming.
He did.
He's hitting 180.
Yeah.
He's batting eighth. I mean, think about this with this Yankee team in 2018. Aaron Hicks last night was batting third. Luke Voit, who wasn't even around, was batting fifth. And Gary Sanchez is batting eighth. It shows you what a long season can do. It changes everything. Changes everything. And the other thing about last night, I give the Yankees credit because they won. The A's won as well, but they're still in great position to lock down this home field advantage. Their magic number is four. All they've got to do is finish tied with Oakland, or obviously finish ahead of them, and they'll get that home game. So despite the A's winning last night, they are still in a really good position to lock this down, especially, Joe, because the Rays are now out of it, and the Red Sox are playing meaningless games.
Right, right.
So they
have
six games against teams that, what do they care?
Yeah. No, you're right. No, look, now the Yankees, I would be stunned if they're not playing the game at the stadium next week.
Oh, I mean, it's going to happen.
I don't think there's any question about it.
But I'm watching last night's game, and I have said before that if a strategy works, how can you rip it? And clearly the
with
opener,
all the relief pitches?
Well, the opener strategies worked for the Tampa Bay Rays. I think, forget about everybody else.
Right,
for the
Rays, it has worked. Right, right.
They were showing the numbers on the broadcast last night. The Rays win more times than they lose when they do the opener. Their team ERA is very good when they use the opener. They've gotten away with it. They may win 90 games this year. It's worked for them. And they did it before rosters expanded to 40. But last night, I'm watching this baseball game, and it was a fine game. It was fine. And I'm thinking, are we going to see this all the time next year and the year after? Is this our future? Are we staring into Jonathan Holder starting a game and pitching an inning and then Tarpley coming in for an inning and the Rays doing the same stuff? Is that really the future? And I know it works for the Rays, so I can't kill what Kevin Cash did this season. And he should get manager of the year votes, even though he's not going to win, mainly because Bob Melvin and Alex Cora exist with the jobs they've done. But last night's game just didn't feel like baseball, man. Every inning.
No, I know.
There's another pitcher. And for the most part, they all did well. You know? They all did okay, I should say. You know, Hunter Wood gave up the home run.
It does seem like this is where baseball is headed, though.
I
hate
this.
The lie. You think I like it? I don't like it
at all. I'm assuming you don't like it.
No. No. But, I mean, you know, I mean, I could see that that's where it's going. It's unfortunate.
Isn't that weird, though, watching this last night?
It's very weird.
It's just strange.
It's not what I'm used to. It's not what I grew up, you know, what baseball was to me when I was growing up and I became, you know, crazy about baseball. I mean, I got to say, you know, even though I'm a football guy first, okay, that's the first sport. The first sport I really was interested in was baseball. That's what got me into the sports world.
Right, right.
Was baseball.
Yeah.
You know, playing wiffle ball in the backyard, collecting baseball cards. You know, all of that stuff. I mean, baseball was it before football. But, I mean, sometimes I don't even recognize it anymore. It's become so analytical. It's become so much about all of that, sabermetrics and exit velo and, you know, home runs and walks and strikeouts. And,
well,
like you said, I mean, there's so many things. It makes me nuts.
Here's the problem. And Joel Sherman wrote a very good article that you would appreciate about 5 days ago, I think it was. Mm-hmm. In which he talked about how the analytics in baseball is going to hurt its popularity, and the thesis being you would look at 3,000 hits as a benchmark.
Sure.
You would look at
100
RBIs as a benchmark.
Well, it used to be 500 home runs. It's not anymore.
Right. Well, now the new analytics are telling you that those numbers don't matter. They're telling you 100 RBIs does not matter.
Which is
unbelievable. They're telling you 20 wins, and I agree that wins don't matter, but I accept that that's a benchmark that was a big deal.
But here's the thing.
Tom Seaver winning his 300th game was a big deal.
I understand wins maybe isn't what it used to be, but I don't see how you sell me that RBIs is not a big deal.
Because it's relying on your teammates. That's the point.
Relying on your teammates.
Well, guys need to be on base.
Yeah, I see.
But
this is not an individual. I know it's an individual. It's played. It's a team sport played with with an individual concept, however you want to say it. But it's still a team sport.
But Joe, it's not even about.
You know, I'm talking about tennis or golf here.
Of course, but it's not even about are you right or they right. It doesn't matter who's right. If something's going to hurt the popularity of the sport, that's a bad thing. You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
And that was Sherman's point. And I thought watching last night's game, I kind of felt the same way. While I admit that the opener strategy has worked for the Tampa Bay Rays, and it may work for other teams, it's not good. I don't think for the popularity of the sport, because I think there's something about, hey, I'm going to the game tonight. It's Severino against Syndergaard.
Yes.
There's something about that.
Of course. Or a guy going for some, whatever the record may be. You got one of your favorite players or your guy is going for his 3,000th hit.
Right.
Or he's going for, you know, a 300 average. You know, he's going to hit 50, maybe 50 homers, whatever it may be.
Right.
Okay? There's something, I agree with you. There's something, it's something that keeps you interested, like with DeGrom going for the Cy Young. Okay, maybe, you know, you're a Met fan, but you stopped watching the Mets months ago. I don't know. I mean, I'm watching him still now, but I mean, you know, I'm a Met fan. But I mean, at least DeGrom going for the Cy Young gives you something to hang your hat on as a Met fan to get interested in.
Absolutely. It's just dangerous when, even if something is smart in how to build your team. That's why this isn't about who's right or wrong about stats.
Right.
It's not even about that.
No, no.
But there's something to be said. Even if this is the smart thing to do, if it's hurting the game's popularity, that's a bad thing. Look at the NBA. Now, we disagree about this, but the NBA has moved into this fast-paced, rely on the three-point.
Everybody, yep. Three-point shots. It's too soft as far as letting these guys play a more physical brand
of
basketball.
That's a completely different animal.
That bothers me more than anything.
That's happening in every sport, though.
No,
right?
Unfortunately, yes.
But let's say...
Yes, unfortunately.
Let's say most people agreed with you, and I think old-school people agree with you, but let's say young people said, boy, this three-point shot is boring. Who cares? And now the NBA's ratings start to go down. Even if the analytics are telling the GMs and coaches to do this, if it's hurting the sport, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And you look at baseball right now, the analytics, and Sherman laid it out beautifully, it's going to hurt the sport. You're not going to watch a game to find a guy try to get to his 9 war. You know, I can't wait to see what his FIP gets to. And I thought with the relievers and the openers, while it makes sense from a strategic standpoint, I acknowledge that. I will argue it's not good. Last night was weird, and it wasn't enjoyable. And if that's where we're headed 4 out of 5 days or 3 out of 5 days, I don't think that's healthy for this game 5 years from now.
I'm not disagreeing with you, man. Like I said, you know, you hit it, though. I mean, none of the sports are the same. And you're right. Every sport is trying to get soft.
Yeah, well, that's different because that's more about, I think, safety and all that kind of
stuff. It is,
garbage.
But I think it's going to get to a point where it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah,
and we're getting there in the NFL.
No,
we are getting there.
And I shouldn't say safety as in garbage because it matters,
sure,
I think it's got to be done in a smart way.
It has to be. I mean, you know, we got to be a little more realistic about it.
And we'll
get
to that because last night's Monday night game featured 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, roughing the passer penalties.
They were
all over the place.
Yep.
We'll get to the Monday night game coming up. Plenty of your phone calls. Brian Costello a little bit later on in the Jets. Toll-free number is 877-337-6666. Midday show till 1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.